It's Saturday Night
Five.
Saturday night.
Get ready for the Saturday night.
Louder.
Saturday night's alright.
On Saturday night.
Always good when I'm like clicking on the wrong thing. I'm like, why is it not going? Welcome to Dynasty Saturday Night 5. We're live here on, oddly enough, a Saturday night. Please make sure you subscribe, rate, and review if you're listening on the Going for Two audio feed. If you're watching us here on the YouTubes or Twitch or wherever else, make sure that you like and subscribe and comment and all that jazz. If you're watching on Twitter, we cannot see your comments, so hop on over to the Going for Two Live YouTube channel so you can jump in and ask us questions and yell at us for all our bad takes. Happy Pride to all our rainbow comrades out there. And good to see you, Gabe Davis fan extraordinaire, my co-host Josh Walker. How you doing?
Yeah, I love me some Gabe Davis in the 17th round. It's the only time I'll draft him. I'm good. Happy Pride, everybody. Yeah, I'm really glad I paid attention before you started, because usually I assume the music comes on. I, you know, crack my knuckles, do a little dance or something. So I'm glad I didn't embarrass myself. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Ready to go. Yeah, that's about it. I don't like Gabe Davis, if anyone didn't catch me being sarcastic.
So just for folks who don't remember Dynasty Saturday Night 5, we use lists of five to sort of have a fun conversation about Dynasty Fantasy Football on your Saturday night. And tonight we're going to kind of keep going with sort of our takes on players. Last time on May 20th, we debated some discrepancies in our rankings. And tonight we're going to take a look at, I don't want to say deep, but, you know, after our top 24 running backs, and in that bunch, you know, some guys that were either targeting or were fading. The running back landscape, you know, after the wild ride that we predicted was pretty wild. And a lot of the things came true that we expected. We have a few big names who are jobless. We have Dalvin Cook, you know, situation still kind of up in the air, although I kind of think if it was going to happen, we might have found out already. You know, and we have guys who were signing shorter, cheaper deals that were more team friendly. We've got a lot of annoying committees, even more than we did before, you know, the draft and free agency. So, you know, running back remains an evolving landscape. And, you know, I'm going to be writing a series of articles about that Dynasty running back landscape for goingfor2.com this summer. And, you know, I think I'm catching up, I think, you know, with where some folks already were, and I think where the NFL is, you know, and that is on the one hand, I'm doing like zero RB, maybe hero RB or anchor RB, whatever you want to call it, right? But on the other hand, you know, since everybody wants to draft wide receivers now, you know, they're getting pushed up, you know, and some of the interesting names at running back, you know, that are big names are all of a sudden like kind of values in those first few rounds of startups, you know. So, for example, like Jalen Waddle's is the sixth wide receiver or whatever off the board in startups. That to me is okay in and of itself. But the fact that he's going like 205 before, like, you know, I don't know, Christian McCaffrey or, you know, Kyler Murray, or, you know, that is to me where it becomes an issue. So how is running back shaping up for you recently?
Yeah, so actually, funny enough, I just joined a startup today, probably 2 hours ago, and I was on my second round pick. I was choosing between Jonathan Taylor, Breece Hall, and Jalen Waddle, like you said. McCaffrey was gone, or I would have taken him. But I took Jalen Waddle over both of those running backs, even though I love both of them. And the main reason that is I went from last year's startups. I went from being a robust RB. I drafted three or four, sometimes five running backs before I filled out my wide receivers. And now I'm drafting one running back in the first five or six rounds and then not touching them again until rounds 9 or 10. And most of that is because wide receivers are getting pushed up. But I also think that's a better strategy at least in my experience last year and the year before that, going robust RB, those teams did not do as well as the teams where I had good young quarterbacks and good young wide receivers and just kind of filled in, you know, running back. So I think I've definitely shifted to more a hero RB type philosophy when it comes to running backs. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is, I think people are just catching up and realizing that drafting young wide receivers might be a better strategy than loading up on running backs.
Yeah.
Given like injuries, all that stuff. The NFL is moving towards more committees now. So there's very few bell cow backs anymore. So that's, I think that's most of it.
Yeah. And, you know, I tend to agree. And I think, you know, for me, it's running back. I'm looking for, you know, for lack of a better, you know, less simple analogy, you know, for running backs, I'm looking for quantity, and wide receiver, I'm looking for quality, right? I want a few really, really good wide receivers on the team that, you know, and that's like the core there. And running backs, like I want 1,200 of them, you know, like just, you know, let me throw some darts at some guys who are, you know, an injury away or, you know, you know, because there's going to be injuries, bye weeks, volatility, committees, et cetera, et cetera. Like it just it is what it is. And running back, I keep using this metaphor or whatever, and I owe it to the guys at Dynasty Dummies. They taught me that. I don't know if where they got it from, but like running back is like an elevator. Like you don't earn anything, right? It's next man up, boom, the ball is literally handed to you, right? Like whereas wide receiver is kind of like an escalator, right? If someone gets injured, you may get on the field, but you don't necessarily earn targets, right? And so that I think also has shifted how I look at wide receiver versus running back, because you know a running back who is lower really on talent than you know a particular wide receiver can get opportunity in a flash. Whereas that wide receiver who we like better might be the, you know, third or fourth passing option on their team and is like our wide receiver five or six and is, you know, isn't really scoring for us. Whereas the injury away running back that we drafted, you know, is an injury away and they start scoring or they become a trade chip. So when it comes to these running backs after our top 24 and you're looking to identify, you know, a guy to target or a guy to fade, what are you looking for when you're doing that?
Part of a situation, you know, I'm fading Brian Robinson just because I'm going to talk about Antonio Gibson. I think guys either got drafted or they got signed that are better than them, and it's going to take them out of the RB1 role more into a committee where they're just not as good. And as a target, it could be the opposite. You know, people going onto a better team with a better offensive line, going on teams getting switched and not being with a rushing quarterback so they get more red zone opportunities. Things like that, age, which weirdly enough, age has had me targeting a lot more people than it has been fading because a lot of people seem to dismiss anyone over 27, and there's still some value with a lot of guys. Mm-hmm. So it's a few mix of things, but mainly age, situation, and talent behind them in a committee, and if an injury is going to force someone else to play as opposed to them just not being as good.
Right. Yeah, I think when I'm looking at you know, the guys below the 24. So just, I mean, in general, I think usually both of us, when we say we're targeting or fading a player, we're not necessarily targeting or fading the player. We're targeting or fading the player relative to his cost, whether it's price, value, ADP, that sort of thing, right? I'm looking for injury away guys. I'm looking for, guys who I think maybe are undervalued. I'm looking for guys who may have a bigger share of the running back pie than I think the other people expect or the market expects. And I'm also looking for guys who can catch the ball, you know, in a PPR world. That's something that, you know, can elevate you as well, which you're going to talk about with Gibson. I'll talk about with Jerome Ford and things like that. And, you know, when it comes to fading is usually just, you know, the price for me. Like, why would I get this player at X value as opposed to, you know, some other player? But, you know, also I think there are things that might cap a player's ceiling or, you know, roster change or things like that, where I just think the market really hasn't caught up to at least how I perceive the situation.
Yeah.
Okay. So before we get started with our list of five, let's pay the bills and talk about our partnership with Underdog Fantasy. Underdog is the industry leader, right? We've got best ball leagues, huge tournaments, private leagues, pick'ems, best ball mania, puppies, poodles, Boston Terriers, pit bulls, Samoyeds, and all that jazz. You know, not just football, right? You can do pretty much every major sport. I didn't really know that other sports existed besides football anymore. So you can scratch that draft itch and hop in a best ball instead of if you don't want to do yet another dynasty startup, right? And also you see how people are viewing players when they've got skin in the game, right? Like what's the early take on, you know, these players and how they're going to do? How is the market looking at them? It's kind of a good way to look at it as well. You can sign up for underdog.com or in the Underdog app using our promo code GF2. That means if you are a new account and you deposit up to $100, no matter what you deposit, they will match it up to $100 when you use the promo code GF2. So make sure you go to underdog.com or the Underdog app, use the promo code GF2, start playing, start winning, start dominating, start making it rain. And I don't know. I got into one of these best ball manias, and Matt Hicks at Rookie Big Board was doing a private, like, I don't know, like we did like a $3 league and things yep. like that. And there's always this urge, because I'm just used to Dynasty, to tell the next person they're on the clock.
With no chat to get it.
I'm like, oh, wait, I don't have to do
Hey, honestly, sometimes I wish there was a chat. So when I'm like trying to do a nice stack and someone reaches 10 picks to get a random quarterback that they don't need, and I'm like right there with, you know, like Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and, well, that's not a good example because Herbert goes first, but you know what I mean. Like, I get sniped. I want to event, ask the guy what he's doing, or ask the person what they're doing. But I can't do that, so it's probably better that we can't do that.
Yeah, that's probably good, right? All right, so also just want to plug real quick the PLPs for Going for Two. What is a PLP? It's a personal league podcast. That means you go to goingfor2.com and go find the PLPs part of the website. I think it's up on the banner on the top. You give us a little bit of coin and we will do a live podcast just about your league, breaking down the teams and the rosters and how we rank them and, you know, ways you can improve and things like that. And you can watch it, you know, here on the YouTubes and hop in the chat and yell at us for making fun of your teams or, you know, whatever, some other, you know, form of social interaction around us, you know, evaluating your Dynasty rosters. They're a lot of fun to do. They're a lot of fun, you know, to be in the audience and in the chat on. So make sure you go to goingfor2.com and look for those PLPs.
You know, speaking of PLPs, I did a few of them, and one of them I said I was going to be really mean, but it was just really hard for me to be mean and just roast somebody. So
yeah,
we're not as mean as people often advertise, but it's still fun. It's good banter. You know, get the league mates in there. You can brag about who, you know, whose team is the worst, who we think is the best. So it's fun.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So let's kick it off with our deep-ish running backs. So we each chose a few running backs that come in on our rankings on goingfor2.com, Dynasty, click on the Dynasty or no rankings tab. And then, you know, you'll see Dynasty 2023. And so you can play along at home. So it's someone below our top 24 running backs. And whether we're targeting or fading them, for whatever reason, I was looking at it and I had a little bit of trouble coming up with fades. And so I have mostly targets, but why don't you kick us off, pick one guy and we'll talk about him.
Yeah. So kind of hinted, I'll talk about him. He's at the top. So I'll just start with him. He's a target. It's Antonio Gibson. So I have him ranked 29th. So he's not far out of the top 24. Keep Trade Cut has him at 37. Brian has him at 33, and the Going for Two consensus is 37. I mean, that being said, I've seen reports about Ron Rivera wanting to feature him more, and I think that's the smart thing to do. Even when he kind of had a, you know, backup role behind Brian Robinson, he still had more points per game. I think he's a more dynamic back, and he has a lot more receiving upside. So if you're in a PPR league, I definitely think he has a lot more value than Brian Robinson. And honestly, I think he has a lot more than people are giving him credit for. So I'm buying in on the dip. I'm taking him pretty late. You know, sometimes he's my second or third flex option. If he goes zero RB, he's a perfect RB2, kind of like Jamie said in the comments behind Rashad White. Mm-hmm. So I think just where you can get him, he's one of the ones on market. I think, you know, he's still pretty young. And if he gets used a lot more and a lot smarter, you know, I think he's going to really pay off where you're getting him.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the ADP here. He's going two rounds after A.J. Dillon. And I don't know that I can justify that.
Yeah, no. You know, yeah. No, A.J. Dillon did not run through tackles or make people miss with his agility at all last year. So it's kind of just downhill. And Aaron Jones is still there and much better. So, yeah. I don't understand that.
I mean, he's RB 40 in ADP. I think, you know, with Eric Bieniemy coming in as offensive coordinator and saying, hey, you know, hello, you know, I know you tried to doghouse this guy and make him return freaking punts, but he's kind of talented, ex-wide receiver in college. So, you know, let's do this. Let's get him out in space and make him, you know, an easy target for an inexperienced quarterback. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Jamie saying that he's seen Brian Robinson go before Gibson in all drafts and calling Brian Robinson trash. I wouldn't go so far as trash. I mean, the team has shown you that they like him and they're going to give him a lot of the, you know, the first and second down work. I think people get a little too low on him and kind of overdo it a little bit with making fun of Brian Robinson. I think there's kind of a letdown from when, like, the team was saying they love him and he was going for like late firsts, like before he got shot, you know, and now people are like, you know, oh, whatever. Like he's kind of like a very, very discounted Najee, you know, like volume dependent, inefficient, but not with as good a hands and pass catching as Najee. But, you know, I mean, when we look at volume and workload and what the team says about the two backs right now, I mean, I don't think it's crazy that Robinson goes ahead of Gibson in drafts. You know, it's not crazy to me. I personally wouldn't do it, but yeah, I mean, you know, two rounds ahead of him in ADP is kind of not,
You know, I think it's crazy in PPR. You know, I can see it more. And if you play in standard, which I don't think I'm in zero standard leagues, but if you play standard, you know, it kind of makes sense to go after guys like Chubb, Robinson, guys like that, get a bump. But PPR, Gibson should definitely, at least in my opinion, be a little bit ahead of Brian Robinson.
Yeah, Kyle checking in saying the whole offense outside of Scary Terry is blah. I don't know that I agree with that. I mean, in fact, at cost, McCorrin might be the one I'm least excited about. You know,
no, Jahan, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think Jahan Dotson will finish higher than McLaurin this year.
All right. So I told you this was at least on your side is going to be an agree fest. Like, you gave me all your targets phase. I was like, shit, I agree with all of them. So not going to be too much heated debate on your end. Let's see what you think of mine. I'm going to do a target. Let's get this out of the way for me and you and my last name and for Jamie and the chat. And that's Jerome Ford, right? Like, no relation, by the way. Jerome Ford is a guy I've been, like, I don't want to say touting, but calling a sneaky buy for, like, a long time. You know, I liked him coming out of college. He was, like, probably pre-draft, I think, like, my RB6 or 8 or something like that. Fell to the fifth round a little lower than I thought. Was injured a while during the 2022 season and was limited a lot to special teams when he wasn't injured. But, you know, Kareem Hunt's not coming back. They didn't really do anything else to add anything to the backfield besides UDFA Hassan Hall, who I kind of like, but, you know, let's face it, he's a UDFA. And I really think Ford is going to, you know, has a chance to step into that Kareem Hunt role. Now, I do think that they'll probably pass more than they did last year, you know, but since Ford is the better pass catching running back relative to Chubb, that isn't too bad, you know, for Ford. Because he's not really, I don't think, going to make a lot of his bacon, vegan bacon, you know, running between the tackles and doing a lot of things that Chubb does. I think Watson, you know, with another offseason, improves, obviously, off the bad performance he had late last year. And I think Ford is a guy to target. I currently have him at, let's see here, my RB 46 in a tier of 38 to 48. KTC at 51. You've got him at 50. Going for two composite, though, is 61. People don't like him. And in ADP, he's going in the 19th round, 1906, at RB 68. There are 67 running backs. We want more than we want Jerome Ford, right? He's going after Zamir White, right? Okay. He's going a round after McKinnon, Fournette, and Hunt, right? He's going two rounds after Gainwell and McBride. He's going three rounds after Deuce Vaughn and Eric Gray. Folks, what are we doing? You know, I think some people are getting a little hip to it, right? Because they've heard us and Jamie and other people talk about Jerome Ford, and he's a little harder to get in the trade streets than he was. But I think in your startups, he's a guy to target because it's going to be easier to get him there. I think people are starting to get a little hip to like, oh, there ain't nothing there besides Chubb. And you can't really just throw a third or, you know, a third and a fourth at somebody and get Jerome Ford anymore. So what say you, Jerome Ford?
No, I agree 100%. And it's what I'm confused about by his value is like guys like Madison, these other guys who are handcuffed running backs, they're going way ahead of him. He's easily the second best option on that team. He's the best pass option, pass catching option on the team. So it's not like he's just going to be the backup. He might be in there for passing downs because, I mean, as much as I love Nick Chubb, he is limited in the passing game outside of just like screen passes. So I do think Jerome Ford is going to be should be going a lot higher. Yeah. I will say I tried this. I like taking shots at running backs late because my two most drafted running backs last year were Tristan Ebner and Jerome Ford. One of them worked out, one didn't, but it also didn't cost me anything outside of a third, maybe fourth round pick. So I think taking a shot on guys like that who are one running back getting traded or moving off away, like Kareem Hunt had 1 year. So it doesn't hurt to take a shot on Jerome Ford. I think that's really being undervalued this year. So I really like Jerome Ford, especially in the situation he's in now.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. I picked up a lot of Ford last year. And, you know, he's probably – I have to check my percentages. I haven't checked them in a while because I'm waiting for all these startups to settle down. But
yeah,
he's going to be among the non-rookies. He's going to be probably one of my most rostered players. And it looks like Kyle and Jamie in the chat are, of course – agreeing because they're smart enough. Hello, Kyle. How's it going? Good to see you. Always glad when you check in on a Saturday night. Kyle Center, another going for two hosts, just like Jamie.
Two Kyles in the house.
Oh, yeah. Kyle. All right. So are we going to call Kyle Center a Canada Kyle? Will that be? Yeah,
That's fine.
Canada Kyle. All right. So who's your next guy on your list that you want to talk about?
So I'm going to work in – I got two fades. So I'm going to work those in between my targets. So I'll start out with Pacheco. I know we've both been pretty vocal about him. And even in my rankings, I don't have him faded too much, but I think it's still past consensus. So I have him ranked at 34. You have him at 44. Going for two consensus is 29, so five whole picks ahead. And if Brian has him at 44, I'm at 34. That means the other people in going for two probably have him a little bit higher for it to be that low. So – that being said, I just don't think he's that. I mean, he's a solid running back. Let me say that. Like, I'm not a professional athlete, so me saying someone's not that great is not me saying I can do better. But I don't think he's that great. He didn't really make people miss. You know, he does push the pile, but he also doesn't run through or break very many tackles. He's not on offense that's been historically friendly to running backs, just because if you have Patrick Mahomes and you can, you know, throw it for 12 to 15 yards every time, why not do that? And I do think people are just kind of for Clyde Edwards-Helaire still on the team. You know, Zotto talked about Denarik Prince. You know, he's an undrafted free agent who could easily step into a seventh, you know, a late round pick with Isaiah Pacheco. So I just think it's too murky. CEH is still 24, 25 years old. So he's still young. I think they still like him or he wouldn't still be on the team. So I don't think he's going to get the touches that a lot of people are expecting to. And when he does, I don't think he's going to do that much with them. So.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, he already had two surgeries in the offseason, right? So that running style is, you know, it is what it is, right?
Yeah.
And not only because of like what he brings to production as far as a points per game, whatever, and into the real NFL, but also because he's a running back and he's a seventh round running back. He's eminently replaceable, right? Both from a fantasy standpoint, you know, wins over replacement, that sort of thing, and from an NFL standpoint. He's a guy who I was kind of touting and said, you know, watch out for this Pacheco guy, size, speed, combo, whatever. You know, he gets drafted in the seventh round, and I'm saying to folks, hey, he's gonna outplay his seventh round value. You know, he's you know, watch out for him. But now, when people have him ranked at like RB24, you know, and the prices that he's going for, I got out from some Pacheco shares, and I'm glad I did at the prices I got. You know, he's going a two full rounds before one of your targets that you're going to talk about later, who I have ranked like 20 spots higher. Right. So if you're looking to get out of Pacheco, what might you be looking to get for him?
You know, honestly, I'd try, given his upside, I'd try for a 24 first, you know, mid to late. I don't think you'll get it early, but I'd try for that and even take a projected early second. I'll take some aging guys. Like, honestly, I'd take James Conner plus like a later pick. You know, these like Aaron Jones, I try and trade straight up because I have Aaron Jones ranked higher. I still think he's better. So honestly, I'd try and take advantage of someone's ageism and somebody also propping up Pacheco and try and get maybe like DeAndre Hopkins, someone like that who is aging, might be fading on a lot of people, but he can help you this year. Mm-hmm. In a rebuild, I'm just going to try and get 24, 25 first for him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I would recommend too, like if folks have Pacheco and they're looking to get out of him, take a look at someone else who might have a running back that you like the same or even better, that you think the market value is higher. So you're tiering down, quote unquote, as far as like according to the market, but maybe not according to you, and then get that plus on top, right? Like, you know, you're going to talk about Monty a little later. Like, if I can get like a plus on top of Monty for Pacheco, because people love Pacheco and whatever age and stuff like that with Monty, like, give me that. I'll smash that. Yeah.
All right. I mean, maybe I'm just higher on Monty and I'll talk about it later, but if I could get that straight up, I would definitely trade Pacheco for Montgomery.
So Jamie letting us know that Kyle's his third favorite Canadian behind Jim Carrey and Wayne Gretzky. So that's quite the company, you know, and in front of Michael J. Fox and Bret Hart. Maybe we're going to have to do a list of five about Canadians at some point and have Kyle on too. You're shaking your head. What is your take on our friends in the True North?
This has nothing to do with Kyle. I would have Kyle also up there, but that's a little disrespectful to Bret Hart, if I'm being honest. Used to be a big WWE fan. Come on, Jamie. You must be like a Shawn Michaels guy or something here for the screw job.
I prefer Jim the Anvil Neidhart. Do you remember? You remember him?
Oh, that's even older.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, really they were a tag team when the guy, Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart was their manager. It was like the Hart Foundation or something like that.
I also don't know if I'd have Jim Carrey high enough. He's really funny, but he's also a little, he said some questionable things.
That's true.
So I would just bump, you know, switch Bret Hart and Jim Carrey and keep Kyle three. I'm fine with that.
We're going to have to,
you know, it's hard to top Wayne Gretzky.
We're going to have to mock draft some Canadians. I don't know. I would take the entire Kids in the Hall troop before I took Bret Hart. So I don't know. Maybe we'll have to.
Yeah, Freddie Freeman, number one. That's all I'm going to say.
All right, down in the ATL. So another one of my targets is James Conner. Now, before people, he's probably the one that like I'm closest to market on, and the market isn't like too far off on. But he, for me, I think is perennially cheap relative to what you're going to get, right? James Conner, it has basically a dumpster fire of a team. And that in some sense is bad, right? But in another sense is very good. It's the last year of his contract. There's not much else in the backfield besides Keonta Ingram, who I like, but you know, he's kind of like discount Jerome Ford. So they're going to run the heck out of the ball probably because, you know, they're Colt McCoy and Clayton Tune throwing to Rondale Moore and Greg Dortch, right? You know, although we kind of like Michael Wilson, but you know, you get my point.
About,
right?
Hollywood Brown,
like they're gonna. Well, yeah, but besides him, I mean, there's not much.
No,
so I don't know. You know, I just think he's going to get a lot of touches. He's going to produce. They're going to run him into the ground. And I think relative to the price where you can get him, I think he's kind of a target for me. And not just in a quote-unquote rebuild, right? Like, we'll probably find some time later on in the summer to talk about, like, approaches to Dynasty. And I'm trying to get out of this approach where it's like a cycle, like contend, rebuild, right? But, like, even if you're – you know, someone who doesn't think they're competing in 23, it's all about, like, what can you get Connor for now, right? Because, you know, running backs are relatively cheap now. And then what can you sell him for in November, right, when the Cardinals are a few weeks in and they've got nothing to use except for Hollywood Brown and James Connor? You get a return on your investment when it comes to 2024 draft capital. And so, you know, I've got him down at RB37 at the bottom of a tier of 29 to 37. It's not too far off. You know, KTC is 40. You're at 36. GF2 is at 36. ADP is 35. But, like, is he really three rounds worse than Miles Sanders? Like, don't get me wrong. I got Miles Sanders ranked 17 spots ahead of James Conner. But is that three rounds of ADP? Like, Sanders in the 8th versus Connor in the 11th? I don't know. You know, like I said on the show sheet, this is the one that, like, I'm probably closest to market on, and the market probably has the rightest. But I think even if the market's right on him, I still think the return on investment that you can get from the price that you pay is going to be pretty good short term.
Yeah, and no, I agree. Obviously, I have him ranked, I think, one ahead of you. So I agree that he's a buy, but I think he's more of a buy on the trade market, because I think, you know, you might be able to, if you're trying to win now, get him from someone who's not, more so than in a startup. Good point. But someone who's trying to win now is going to draft him at, you know, a pretty reasonable cost, especially based on the market, because we're close. But in trades, if you have the right situation, he's on a team that's not trying to compete, you could probably get him for pretty easily, probably like a second or third in 24 or 25. So I definitely agree with you there. And he is capable in the passing game too. He's shown that he can catch a lot of passes, so that just helps keep him on the field as long as he's healthy.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Who's your next guy that you want to go over?
You know, I'm going to keep this one quick because I talked about him last week. It's Rashad Penny. You know, and I will preface this by saying I'm a little biased because I love Rashad Penny. Like, I almost took Rashad Penny in a rookie draft in the late second. It's 10 team. And Jamie had to talk me down and be like, wait, you have him ranked above Tank, all these other guys. I was like, you know what? You're right. But that being said, if Rashad Penny can put together a healthy season, you have a few years of production from him. And when he's healthy, he is, in my opinion, a top 15 running back just based on pure skill. You know, his numbers over the years on the Seahawks have showed it, and they didn't have a good offensive line. Now he has the best offensive line. He's paired up with, you know, another running back who's dealt with some injury stuff. So I think if they, you know, work their workload right with someone else, you'll talk about later. You know, I think with 10 or 12 touches, he's still going to be very productive. And I do like him in the red zone a little bit more than DeAndre Swift too. So, you know, yeah. And the one disagreement we have is the other guy you're going to talk about on this team.
Yeah.
That's the only disagreement we have.
And we somewhat disagreed, like, last week about Penny. Mm-hmm. I think you made a good case, and I bumped him up four or five spots in my ranking. So, like, you're at 35, I'm at 43. It's not too big a difference. He's in a tier of, like, 38 to 48 for me. You know, the mark KTC is 47, going for two is 46, his ADP is 48. I mean, like, 14th round, RB 48, like, I'll take Rashad Penny, right? Because I hate to say, like, you know, if not for the injuries, because there were the injuries. But, you know, if we looked at just took out the injuries and said, here's this, you know, anonymous running back, here are his numbers, here are his efficiency metrics in a small sample size. What do you think of this run? And here's his age. What do you think of this running back, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know that we would have him ranked. I would not know that I would have that anonymous running back ranked at RB 43, no. Right? You know?
Yeah.
And yes, you know, these are injuries that are, you know, to his legs, and that's not, you know. And I think, you know, there is also the question that, like, some people say, well, at the end of 2021, when he was winning, you know, people fantasy playoff games, it was against really bad competition. Okay. Like, I'm not going to disagree with any of that. But remember, like, we're talking about prices, right? We're talking about targeting or fading guys based on their value, their price, their ADP. And I think for me, I'm a little more in on Rashad Penny since our conversation.
I mean, in startups, he goes straight to your bench. I mean, if you're drafting him to go into your starters, you're obviously tanking probably, or like, I don't really know what you're doing, but he should be your third or fourth person on the bench. So it really, at that cost, the upside, if he stays healthy, is just totally worth it. And he's probably going to be my most rostered player once all these drafts are done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I like it. We're gonna see how this Penny stuff plays out. I guess that would be a good time to transition to my guy, but I'm not going to because there's the part of my brain that wants to balance things out and like doesn't and has mashed potatoes and stuffing and tries to eat them at a pace so that they finish at the same time. I have four targets and one fade, so I want to save the fade, if that makes any sense to folks out there.
Yeah.
So I'm going to talk about Khalil Herbert as a target. And as much as I think, you know, Jamie and I can connect on Jerome Ford, I think I might be hurting Jamie's feelings here. I think personally, with rookie fever, people are a little drunk on Roschon Johnson. And I think they think he's going to have a bigger role, especially early on, than he really is. And I think they're forgetting that Khalil Herbert exists, right? Yes, Foreman will be rotated in. And I actually probably like Foreman relative to the market. But when we talk about a running back who's been explosive and efficient on a small number of touches like Rashad Penny, he's also called Khalil Herbert, right? And when it comes to, I think, the first and second down work, I think you're going to see a lot of Herbert. You're going to rotate in Foreman. You know, they have different types of runs that they do, right? Change of pace, that sort of thing. And Roschon's going to be there for the third down snaps because he's good at pass pro. He's a better pass catcher than those two. Now, you know, by the end of the season, could Roschon's role grow? Yeah, perhaps. I don't think that's out of the question. Is it going to grow to the point where Herbert is completely irrelevant? Absolutely not, as far as I'm concerned. And is it going to grow to the point where, like, I don't know, Herbert's still not a good price now in June? I don't think so either. So I've got him at 29 at the top of a tier of 29 to 37. KTC has him at 38. You're close to me at 32, going for 231. He's going off the board at RB 39 at the 1208 as far as ADP goes, versus Brian Robinson and AJ Dillon in the 10th and Isaiah Pacheco in the 8th. Right? Like, that's what we talk about when we talk about price. Like, in a vacuum, so to speak, you can ding Khalil Herbert, right? You know, sixth round pick, you know, whatever. He only got work even when Monty was there, right? And also, I want to throw in on my side of the case, you know, the low passing volume, right? You can ding Khalil Herbert, but can you ding Khalil Herbert when you can get him four rounds after you can get Isaiah Pacheco? Absolutely not. So, yeah, Khalil Herbert, as far as relative to cost, I've got him as a target.
No, I agree 100% with you. And most of that is because, and, you know, coming in, we talked about it before. I was a huge Roschon fan. You know, going to the Bears wasn't a terrible landing spot, but it also wasn't a great one just because as long as Herbert's there, I feel like he's going to be 1A or 1B, you know, once Foreman's gone. So either way, he's not going to, I don't think he's going to be the guy as long as Herbert's there. And that in itself puts a cap on his ceiling to me, even if he's a pass catching back. You know, as long as Foreman and Herbert are both healthy, I don't see him, unless he just comes out and impresses, I don't see him getting a ton of goal line carries because you got Foreman. And he'll really just be in there on the pass catching work. You know, I think eventually he'll pass Foreman. And, you know, long term, he might be a good buy. But this, you know, I think people should temper expectations first year.
Yeah. Well,
sorry, Jamie.
Well, Roschon's lawyer, Jamie, checking in the chat saying that Herbert before the draft was going for a late second. Roschon going as a 204, 205 in rookie drafts, which is higher than that. And now he can't sell Herbert for a mid third. Well, first of all, you can't sell Herbert for a mid third. I don't know. Okay, fine. Then he's neutral or a buy, right? Which is what I'm saying. But also, like, then the people in your league are doing themselves a disservice if they can't give you a mid third for Herbert. And also, Roschon going the 204 or 205, maybe in Jamie's drafts because Jamie's drafting him so much. Not in mine. I mean, he was a late second around like 208, 210. It's not a huge difference, but, you know, it matters when, you know, there's a number of picks. I'm looking at his ADP right now, and it's 210, you know. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, fine, then relative to cost, then Herbert's a buy, and people are drunk on Roschon because it's rookie fever.
No, I agree. I had to temper my expectations just a little bit.
All right. Who is your next running back?
Yeah, so I'm going to go with David Montgomery. Let me pull up where
this is like one of my biggest values in the running back market right now David Montgomery.
Yeah, and looking at it now, I have him 28, KTC is 31, so I'm right at market, but you're even more ahead of market than I am at 21. Going for two as I'm at 32, so a lot of people are even lower. And he's going as a RB32 based on Bulletproof ADP, and I pulled that up. So before I get into this, I just want to mention a few people that are going before him. A.J. Dillon, Brian Robinson, Kendre Miller, James Cook, Dalvin Cook. I just don't see how these people are going before him, and I think most of that is just because the Jahmyr Gibbs hype. I've seen Jahmyr Gibbs go before C.J. Stroud and JSN in some drafts, so I think that's just getting – you know, I'm pretty high on him too. I have him like 14 or something like that, but people are just – getting a little too hyped on a rookie running back. That's, you know, he's not undersized, but he's not big either. I don't think he's going to be a bell cow by any means. I think that's why they went and got Montgomery. And I think he's a veteran. We know what he is. He's not flashy. He's not sexy, but he's very solid and he's a very good running back. So I think the Jahmyr Gibbs hype is kind of getting in the way and clouding people's judgment on David Montgomery, which he's on a better offensive line than he had with the Bears. And even then, he was a solid RB2. So I don't see why he would do any worse than he's done with the Bears just because of Jahmyr Gibbs.
Right. No, I think Gibbs might be a better Swift, but, you know, guess what? Monty is a better Jamal Williams.
Once you said that, I just was going to say he's Jamal Williams, but better.
Right. Like, and, you know, like, yeah, I think you and I are like a little lower than like the hype train on Gibbs. And that might be coloring how we see this. So take that for whatever grain of salt you're taking it when you're watching and listening. But even if you really love Gibbs, right, even a little more than we do, like it's like there's another member of that committee, an important member. And, you know, in a running back friendly offense to both rushing and pass catching, which, by the way, Montgomery isn't bad at. And that person's name is David Montgomery, right? Like, you know, I think people like I don't. What are people thinking that Jahmyr Gibbs is gonna do that? You know, in a very different role from Montgomery,
yeah,
that's gonna affect Montgomery all that much to drop him down into the 30s and running backs. You know, and as you said, some of the guys going before him. And let's pick on Pacheco again, who, like you, he pointed out, not breaking tackles. Like his biggest knock coming out of college was his missed tackle rate and things like that. Like he's going two rounds before David Montgomery, and that to me is criminal.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's like, I mean, someone on Twitter pointed out, like, I'm low on A-Chain, I'll talk about him next, but Jahmyr Gibbs isn't that much bigger than Devon A-Chain. So I mean, people putting him up that high with like Nick Chubb and guys like this who can handle 250 carries a year, I'm tempering my expectations just a little bit. And most of it is because of Montgomery, not really anything to do with Jahmyr Gibbs.
Right.
Because Jamie pointed out, he's still 25. So, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. This is not a Faye Gibbs thing. Like, you know, we might have him ranked a little lower. Like, we're not going to put him in the top five of running backs yet. And a lot of people are willing to do that. Right. And I agree that if you can get Jahmyr Gibbs, I don't know, 175 carries, you know, 150 carries, and I don't know, like catch 60 balls or something like that, right? Like that mm-hmm. because of the player he is, he's going to have a lot of good, you know, fantasy points per game, especially in a PPR format. I don't think he's going to have as many touchdowns as we want him to have. But I can believe that and still say that people are too low on David Montgomery. And yeah, I just, you know, I don't get it. And I think he's one of the biggest values. And when I say a value, you know, the question is like, it's value relative to like what you, you know, the market, it's value relative to where you can get him in an ADP, what you could pay for him in a trade and things like that. Obviously, if you pay a 24 first for David Montgomery, it's not quite a value, right? But I think right now, if I'm going to buy a running back in June, Montgomery is going to be one of the guys I'm going to be taking a look at.
Yep.
I mean, for me, he doesn't even qualify for this show. He's not outside my top 24, you know, so.
Yeah.
All right, so my next guy is, let's see here. Let's go with my fade for tonight at cost, and that's Kenny Gainwell. So I have him down at RB 61 at the bottom of a tier of RB 49 to 61. You got him up at 47, going for 248. I forgot to get the latest on KTC for him, but he's going as running back 56 in ADP, and it looks like KTC has him at 54. Right, so I'm definitely below everybody on Gainwell, and I like Gainwell. Right, like he's okay. He can get passes. He flashed a little bit toward the end of the year, like that maybe he was improving and things like that. DeAndre Swift came to town, and DeAndre Swift is better than Kenneth Gainwell. And if you want to say that we have to bake into DeAndre Swift's expectations that. You know, he's not going to, you know, play a full year, just like, you know, you're kind of baking that into Rashad Penny's expectations. Fine. But now what's happened to Gainwell is he's now with Boston Scott, right? Like, you know, you've got Penny and Swift, and then you've got Boston Scott and Kenny Gainwell. I can't leapfrog Gainwell over guys that I have in the 40s and 50s, you know, that are an injury away from relevance, like guys we already talked about, like Keontae Ingram or Jerome Ford or, you know, Jamal Williams, who's not just injury away. He's, you know, he's going to get run. Deonta Foreman, you know, Damian Harris, Devin Singletary, like Michael Carter. Like, I don't know how I can put Kenny Gainwell above these guys when they've got a much clearer path to more touches, even if it's just contingency based on injury than Gainwell does. Although Swift goes down, Gainwell is going to be someone who's going to be a good trade chip in the middle of the season.
No, this is the one thing that we disagree on. And I do think that, and maybe this is just me and not the Eagles, but I think Kenneth Gainwell is both younger and more athletic and better at pass catching than Boston Scott. So a lot of this is optimism that the Eagles see that too and have him higher in the pecking order. But also, given the way that DeAndre Swift and Rashad Penny have been going, they both could go down 1 week, and next thing you know, Kenneth Gainwell is the guy. So it's the most unique situation as far as running backs go, given the fact that both the guys ahead of him are very injury prone and maybe not missing the whole year, but they'll miss some games. And I think just the fact that Gainwell can still, as RB3, have some standalone value certain weeks, you know, given certain situations, that's why I still have him up there pretty higher. Yeah. And it's a unique situation. If he was on any other team as RB3, you know, I'd have him even lower than you do, but I try not to bake into injuries too much, but both of them, I think it's kind of foolish not to, right. Just because every single year they play, they've missed games.
So. Yeah, and that's a point that Jamie makes in the chat, and he also makes the point that Gainwell's free. So you say, okay, Brian, how can you fade a guy at cost whose cost is so low, right? Well, it's just like that's just how I identify a fade, right? Mm-hmm. Where like I'm well below market on this player. But also, it's, you know, for me, it's also relative. Like, is he really two rounds ahead of Jerome Ford and Michael Carter in ADP? Is he four rounds before Keontae Ingram? Like, I'm not saying that, like, oh, I hate Gainwell and his price is, you know, exorbitant. It's, if I can get Keontae Ingram four rounds later, just give me Keontae Ingram. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just the player, it's his relative value. And I think maybe that's where my argument is coming from.
Now, the main one of those I disagree with is Michael Carter. Michael Carter was one of the most inefficient running backs last year. And the only reason he has any value is because of Breece Hall's injury. But even then, I'd almost prefer Zonovan Knight where he's going over Michael Carter, because I didn't realize until I looked in how inefficient he was and just not that great with his touches.
Well, I think Michael Carter is might have been inefficient with his touches, and that's not false, right? But this is a team, for me personally, that's going to use a lot of running back. These use running backs a lot. Mm-hmm. I think Izzy's the new Zonovan Knight. I think Zonovan Knight kind of proved, like, you know, the league kind of figured him out, so who cares about him? And, you know, Michael Carter, you know, I think his pass catching is better, more developed than Izzy's at the moment. And so, you know, as far as like a change of pace or third down back, or, you know, who's going to catch passes when Breece Hall isn't, you know, is getting a breather or might be injured, I think Michael Carter enters that picture. And therefore, for me, is, you know, a few only five spots ahead or whatever of Gainwell, by the way, and in the same tier.
Yeah.
But like, is he two rounds of ADP below Gainwell, even if people have him below Gainwell? I don't know.
No, that's very fair. Yeah. I only have Izzy a few spots behind Michael Carter, so.
Wow, I got Izzy ahead of Michael Carter.
Yeah, and I might need to make that switch too, because I do think he could easily just be the Zonovan Knight. And if Breece isn't healthy, I think Izzy would get more, at least early down work, more so than
Michael Carter. I think when Breece is off the field, for whatever reason that might be, they're breaking him in slowly, you know, change of pace, taking a breath, or, you know, unfortunately, if he were to get hurt again, I think, you know, Izzy's going to be that, I think, you know, the first and second down guy.
I just bumped him up.
And Carter's going to be, you know, the third down, passing downs guy. So,
yeah.
All right, who's your next guy?
All right, let's see what I have talked about and what I haven't. I think I'm on – I skipped through my last fade. I meant to do that before Monty. But I'm going to talk about Devon Achane. I have him at 43. Keep Trade Cut has him at 22. So I think this is by far the one I'm lowest on market on. And I might even be a little lower than I should, but I'll go into why. Brian, you have him at 36. You're kind of with me. Going for two has him at 32.
I'm ashamed I'm higher than anybody on Achane.
Yeah. Look, going for two is with it when it comes to this person. You know, the main reason, it's not really a knock on Achane as much as it is that, you know, Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson, that's kind of an ugly running back committee. And I think those two are going to dominate early down work. And I think any chance Achane has is just in passing downs and hoping both of them get injured. Because, you know, Jeff Wilson and Mostert were pretty efficient with their touches despite, you know, their age, you know, injury history. But I just have them two higher than consensus. And I think that by default just kind of makes me lower on Achane. I think the landing spot has gotten people a little too excited. Not saying that he has some pretty good upside, but I also think he has a very high probability of being a bust based on being the 22nd overall running back in this class.
Yeah, you know, let me play the devil's advocate just because I have him ranked higher. I might as well play, like, you know, or at least give the positive case for Achane, right? Like, I'm a guy who, you know, who was out at cost on Achane, you know, going into the NFL draft. He was going late first, early second in mocks, and I just couldn't do it. And you know, well, mid second sometimes too. And I just couldn't do it. And you know, he kind of stayed relatively in that same place. You know, I did give him a slight bump because of the landing spot. Like, if there was one place in the entire NFL that could make me be intrigued by Achane significantly more than I was before the draft, it would have been the Miami Dolphins, right? He is sort of a, you know, a little bit smaller, younger, but faster, Raheem Mostert. And, you know, Raheem Mostert isn't, you know, he's in his early 30s, right? So I think there's going to be an opportunity for Achane to, you know, break big plays and you know, make up for a lack of volume, right? You know, in the type of runs that he's going to get by the efficiency that he achieves with those runs. Now, he also can catch passes, although I think people just kind of assume, oh, little running back, he's really good at catching passes. He's good, right? But I don't know that, like, you know, he's like got that excellent, you know, elite, you know, pass catching profile coming out of college. And so, you know, it's just temper expectations there too. You know, the NFL does things where what they're doing with the draft is, you know, saying, hey, you know, I'm the Lions. I'm going to take Jack Campbell where I take Jack Campbell because he's the type of player that fits our system and our culture. And, you know, we might overdraft him according to the, you know, draft Knicks in the fantasy community, but he fits our team, right? And so, like, teams are doing that. And Miami did that with Devon Achane. He fits their team, right? So if there's one place where I could be optimistic about Devon Achane, it's there. That being said, I do agree that in that offense, you know, that's going to pass a lot to Waddle and Tyreek Hill, and who's going to mix in Jeff Wilson and a little bit of Raheem Mostert probably too. You know, I don't necessarily see the path for him to be very impactful in 2023, and I just can't get on board with him, even at like his increased weight of 195, of, you know, holding up to the type of although I will say this, right? Like, his contact balance is poor, but like, he was pretty durable in college, right? So like, mm-hmm. the size didn't keep him off the field with injuries. And to his credit, or in his defense, we don't have clean comparisons for Achane. When you combine, when you're that little with the draft capital he got, and like the sort of workhorse workload that he had at Texas A&M, like, there's not a lot of people in that sample size. So it kind of remains to be seen what a player like Achane can do. All that said, you know, I agree with you that people are way too high on him. And you know, between rookie fever and the landing spot, I've got him down at RB36 in a tier of 29 to 37. I've got him behind Brian Robinson, who we were talking, you know, trash about before, especially, you know, Jamie saying he's trash. He's going at the 901 as RB26 in ADP, right? So, you know, I don't know. You know, that's two rounds before Roshan, like, you know, a whole round plus before Montgomery and Kamara. You know,
he's going before Aaron Jones,
isn't right? He? Yeah, he is. Yeah, three rounds before Madison.
Aaron Jones and is Khalil Herbert.
Like, I just, yeah, it's too expensive.
Well, and basically, you know, talking about the upside he has, you basically described a rookie running back, Gabe Davis, who, you know, weeks he doesn't break out a big play and get a touchdown, he's not going to do anything. He's going to get you 3 to 4 points. And I typically fade players like that. I'd rather have a baseline of, you know, 10 to 12 points as opposed to someone, you know, who gets me 3 or 4 points and then gets me 20 and it looks the same, but I'd rather have the more consistent person each week. And that's just my philosophy, and that is baked into how I feel about him, because, you know, over, you know, 75% of the games he could not do anything, but if he does hit big plays in the others, it's going to look a lot better than it actually is.
And so that opens up a sell window. So, like, for example, I have 3 shares, right? And I got in on him relatively at cost in those rookie drafts, but like, those are like diversification in case I'm wrong. Trade him, you know, early in the season. Like, when he breaks a 60-yard run to the house and people are making TikTok videos with it, you're going to be able to get a pretty good, you know, price on HA. And that's kind of the only reason I have 3 shares.
Oh, yeah. You know, so. No, it's smart to do that, even though you're out on people. Like, because me and Jamie are doing a rookie draft now, we've drafted a few people that, just because we don't have them, if we're pretty close on them, it's like, well, let's diversify a little. So I think that is smart to do, just in case they hit, or if anything, you can trade them.
All right, so I'm going to do my last person, and that's the exciting, scintillating, fascinating Samaje Perine, who I have ranked at RB39. In a tier of 38 to 48 versus KTC's 49, your 48, going for 251, 51 and 80 in ADP. Folks, Samaje Perine is a bargain right now, okay? Whenever he's gotten 10 or more touches, he's had an RB1 finish. In fact, I think, if I heard correctly, every time he's gotten 10 or more touches, he's surpassed like 16 PPR points in a game. right? And while, yes, he's, you know, 27, maybe pushing 28, he's not 34, right? We've seen Sean Payton offenses use multiple running backs. So even when Javonte's back, he's going to get used. He went and he said publicly one of the reasons he signed with Denver is Coach Payton said, we like to use multiple backs, right? You throw on top of that, we don't know exactly when Javonte is going to get back. You know, the smoke says he's going to be ready week one. Who knows? And if he is ready week one, we don't know what he's going to look like. You know, you throw all that in together. And for me personally, I think he's going at prices that are pretty cheap, right? Now, he's probably a guy in the trade market where, you know, I might try to get him added to a trade, like add Piran on top of something, you know, rather than just like pay straight up for him.
Yeah.
But I still think that's something that you can do. And, you know, we're kind of in startup season. And so, you know, when we're looking at startups, he is going at 1507 at RB 51. He's going two rounds after Tyler Algier and Chase Brown. Right. Now, I have Tyler Algier ranked above him, one rank above him. Right. But, you know, and Algier, I think, is very good. Right. He's younger than P. Ryan. Right. But they're kind of in a similar spot in that they're, you know, behind a better running back. Right. And in fact, one could argue that P. Ryan has a better path to touches than Algier does, at least, you know, early on. You know, and I just don't think there's two rounds, especially with Chase Brown. I don't think there's two rounds difference in a startup with Samaje Perine and Tyler Algier and Chase Brown. Again, not an exciting name, but when you're playing the, like, you know, hero RB, zero RB, have 1,200 running backs on your roster game, and you're looking for a guy to target at cost, a guy who has performed well, is going to get touches even with Javonte there and can catch passes in PPR, that's a guy to target.
No, I agree with you. And the only reason I'm a little behind on you is mainly just because I'm skeptical to try and just guess what's going to go on. I think Javonte is going to be eased in, but I think he's just that much better than Perine overall, that if he can gain steam as the year goes on, you know, continually like progress in the right direction, I think he's going to steal a lot of touches later on. But there's also no proof that he's going to do that. He could come back, tweak something, and be out. And Perine is a three-down back. You know, he's underrated between the tackles. Watching the Bengals games when Mixon was out, he's really good. He breaks tackles, and he can catch the ball better than a lot of backs in the league. And I do think he's underrated.
Yeah, and, you know, especially, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, especially on a team that is going to be a running back committee. I mean, Williams was in a committee when he was healthy, you know, with Melvin Gordon, who ain't great. So, I mean, I don't see why he's just going to be irrelevant this year, especially with Payton having those comments about him.
And you mentioned, you know, Javonte improving as the season goes on. We've talked about a couple guys this year who grab him now and then flip him early in the season. Perine's one of them, right? You know, I'm not saying ride Perine to the moon and he's going to be your league winner, but based on what you can get him for now, you know, included in a trade or in a, you know, relative to other running backs in startups, and then what you can maybe sell him for, excuse me, in the fall, like I think it's a good guy to get in on. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, so I have an honorable mention for tonight. I wanted to go a little bit deeper because I love my deep cuts, and that's targeting Malik Davis, who it could be on your waiver wires, could be had for a third, maybe even like, I don't know, 2/4 or something like that. Right. And it's really about, you know, cost and that sort of thing relative to market. I have him as my RB 70 in 65 to 77 tier. KTC is a 77. You like him a lot even more than I do. You've got him up at 57. He's 84 at going for two. Only three of us have him ranked to begin with. You, me, and Kyle. He's going as in the 24th round as RB 84. In startups. So, I mean, when you want to talk about a late round dart throw to take, it's Malik Davis. So you're saying, why, Brian, should I be in on Malik Davis? Well, you know, payoff versus cost. And you know, if the risks happen, you know, then the cost was low anyway. What'd you burn, right? So the team loves him, right, for whatever that's worth. Ezekiel Elliott was effusive in his praise of Malik Davis last year. Besides Tony Pollard, you know, without the team going out and whatever, trading for Dalvin or signing Fournette or whatever, or even bringing Zeke back, right? Right now, besides Tony Pollard, that backfield has Deuce Vaughn, Ronald Jones, I don't know, Rico Dowdle, Quadri Olsson, like, you know, so, right? Like, you know, there's a path to him getting, because like as much as Tony Pollard's touches will increase, you know, and as much as he's in a contract year, so they don't have to worry necessarily about running him into the ground, they also want to keep him on the field if they're going to compete this year. And so, you know, they're going to need somebody to get touches. And again, he's one of these injury away guys. And let's say Ronald Jones somehow wins out the RB2, right? Let's say the team signs Zeke, right? What'd you burn getting Malik Davis? Fab, right? The 20th, 24th round in your startup. He's worth taking a look at. That's all.
Yeah. The only reason I have him so high is we don't know what kind of workload Pollard can actually handle. You know, he was always the 1B in, you know, that backfield. He might not be able to handle it, and he might, you know, get hurt. And if he does, Malik Davis is one of the better handcuffs behind a run-heavy team. You know, they said they're going to pass more, but I still think Mike McCarthy likes to run the ball.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, he was talking about how Kellen Moore, you know, wanted to, you know, score so many points and throw so much. We're going to get back to run. Like, you know, come on.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, so I think he's one injury away from being, you know, like an RB3, and that's why I have him at 57. I have him behind Yeah, so I have him there. I have him ahead of Kareem Hunt, Keontae Ingram, Dwayne McBride, Zamir White. So he's ahead of guys and right behind Pierre Strong, Zach Evans, and Mostert. Yeah. So I like the spot I have him in just because if Pollard gets hurt or something happens, you know, it's football. Anyone can get hurt in practice. You know, just walking out of the tunnel, you can get hurt. So right.
And that,
I think it's worth a shot.
And that 24th round you did in the startup, or that those two fours that you traded, now – when Pollard gets injured, now you have a trade chip, or you have something that, you know, might produce more for your team. Go for it.
Yeah, because in the right team build, he could get a starting job, and he still might not be a starter on your team, but he could be for someone else. You could flip him and still not really miss out on any production you have.
All right, well, that'll just about do it for us when it comes to digging a little deeper into the running back position. Please make sure you subscribe, rate, and review if you're listening on the audio feed. If you're watching us here on YouTube, please make sure you subscribe to the channel, like the video, give us some comments. Help us beat the algorithm. So we're just going to plug goingfor2.com. And also, when you go to goingfor2.com with a million articles and everything you need for fantasy, DFS, redraft, rankings. We have Scott Fishbowl ADP up there now, right? When you go on the website, on the little bottom right, a little purple Discord thing, click on that, join the free Discord. We got hella channels, including a channel for this show. We've got Scott Fishbowl mocks churning out, you know, every hour on the hour, it seems like sometimes. We got a channel chat for every Scott Fishbowl draft spot if you happen to be in Scott Fishbowl. We've got a channel for this show. We got a channel for trades, right? So, you know, make sure that you hop in that Discord and join the conversation. We also have pretty much a show every night of the week here live, you know, except for Sundays, but that of course will change, when the season comes around. Time for plugs. Josh, where can we find you and your work?
Yeah, you can find me at Rotonaut at Twitter at Rotonaut, Rotonaut. I probably need to tweet more than I do, but I'm still on there. I respond to all DMs. And yeah, if you're in Scott Fishbowl or trying to join the Going for Two Discord, it's at least the biggest I've seen. It's by far the most active Scott Fishbowl Discord, you know, draft slots, room for each draft slot, mock drafts, you know, all that. And you got cool people like me and Brian in there. So hop on in, there's startups. You can do everything in there. And you can find my rankings at goingfor2.com.
And you can find me at ffjunkie_ goingfor2.com for articles and rankings. Coming up this summer, going to do a four-part series on running backs. Probably going to talk about some of the guys that we talked about tonight. You can also, let's see, find me on the Dynasty Fever podcast at Dynasty Fever Pod on Twitter. Those are audio only, and episodes drop on Thursdays. I also have been cutting up the clips and putting them on our YouTube channel for that as well. I hooked up with RPO Football as well, rpofootball.com, and they have a YouTube channel. I made my first ever YouTube short about, you know, Tank Bigsby's ADP being too low. A very no frills, no graphics or flashy any videos or anything. It's me talking about Tank Bigsby, talking fast to, you know, crush, you know, crunch it in a minute, in 59 seconds, because that's what people want these days. But also a longer video on selling Etienne and Kenneth Walker before it was cool on Twitter. So, you know, I'll probably be doing a little bit of writing and video for them too. So that just about does it for us. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. You know, we really appreciate you taking some of your time out. And that's a wrap.
Go Irish. Go Braves. The Mets are stupid.